Philippians chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to be here again tonight and just to gather together as a church. Thank you for your word and the wonderful help that it is at all times in our lives to give us instruction, to teach us your ways, to reveal you to us, to guide us, to comfort us, to help us. Lord, to rebuke us, admonish us, Lord, all the things that you do for us through your word, we thank you and praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for a church that we can be part of, where we can just be partakers together of the goodness of God. And I pray that tonight as we look into your word and we find some help and strength, that you would just open our hearts to receive what you have for us this evening. And we trust you, Lord. We look to you tonight for your help and guidance. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4, if you're there, would you stand with me? Philippians 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm glad to have our church family together tonight, and really it's kind of one of those messages. I'm somewhat thankful we don't have a lot of visitors with us this evening, because I believe that God has something that He wants just for us as a church to consider. I am, and obviously my position as pastor gives me somewhat of a unique perspective, but one thing I can tell you with some degree of confidence and assurance is that there is certainly some work that Satan is trying to do in our midst as a church. And I don't believe I'm the only one who sees that. Now, when I say that, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about some major problem, something that, you know, some issue that's coming to a head that, you know, is going to be revealed. I'm talking about just a lot of battles on a lot of fronts. As a church, there's always things. There's always issues. There's always little struggles. And I say little, they're not always little, but I mean, there's difficulties and things that people face in their own personal lives, burdens that we carry, sometimes issues that come up within the church that we have to deal with. And at any given time, there's things to be praying about. But it seems to me that this year in particular, and even in the last few months, that's become more and more and more evident. Satan is working to do what he does. He's working to cause discouragement in the lives of people. As I look out at the congregation tonight, and I'm commanded, and so are you, to bear one another's burdens and to weep with those that weep, I'm just somewhat overwhelmed, to be honest with you, somewhat overwhelmed with the number of needs. My prayer list is ever growing, and I'm looking out tonight at some folks who are dealing with struggles in your marriage, struggles with your children, financial problems, health issues, ailing parents, just a lot of things, a lot of burdens. Here in the next 2 weeks, and I'm not trying to reopen any wounds, but we've got a couple of families that'll be reminded again of a time of loss. This Wednesday, I believe, will mark 3 years since we lost Bill McMillan. The 28th, I believe, we'll be remembering the loss of Derek And we grieve with these families, and there's just burdens. There's burdens that we carry, and it seems like just stress and strain that is there and is always there, and Satan is working on that. He's working to cause, in some situations, not necessarily on a large scale, but in some situations, cause division, cause confusion between people and straining relationships. And with all that being said, I want to say also that just, and this is probably, maybe you've recognized this, maybe you haven't, and that's fine. But one thing that I am very aware of is that there has been for some time, I don't know how to give necessarily a time frame on this, but what I would describe as a somewhat of a hindering spirit, just in terms of even our services. You know, there are times when I stand in the pulpit to preach and there's great liberty and freedom in preaching. And then there's times that it's like, you know, I describe it like preaching with your feet in concrete. It's just like you're just kind of held back. I've felt that personally, even in my prayer life, and just there's something there that's you know, working against. And while these things are true, I want to also say this, that I am confident that when Satan is working like that in very obvious and evident ways, it's probably because God's trying to do something and is about to do something. And if we will just stay faithful and remain close to the Lord and keep praying, and there's a blessing on the other side of this. And so, you know, I'm not up here to complain in any way. I'm not up here to whine about issues or anything like that. That's not my motive for doing what I'm doing tonight. The reason that I bring this up is because I know that I am not the only one who recognizes this need, this issue. I know I'm not, because I've had several of you come to me with things and say, man, it just seems like Satan's really working. And I've had others that have come to me with maybe other personal needs or things like that, and I've made the comment, yeah, it seems like Satan's really working, and they'll say, yeah, you're right, we know, we've noticed that as well. And so I want to mention that, and also I want to just acknowledge, maybe you've been somewhat isolated from that, and you say, well, I haven't really noticed anything. Praise the Lord for that. But let me say this, don't be surprised if something comes your way. Maybe you're dealing with some additional discouragement lately, and or something like that. I don't know what Satan might try to do, or maybe is doing in your own personal life. But I felt it necessary to come together as a church, and in some ways acknowledge the elephant in the room, that there are just things that Satan is trying to do, and yet we don't need to fall prey to that. And I want to try to encourage you to keep pressing forward in the service of the Lord, and really encourage you and ask you to join together with me and band together and draw close to the Lord and stand through this. And so I want to just preach to you tonight a very simple message. I know I've preached on this passage before, but I want to preach to you on the subject of keeping going, just keeping on, and standing, and how do we press on through times of difficulty? Well, the first thing from this passage of Scripture is that we need to keep praising. We need to keep praising God. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Keep praising. I know I preached through the book of Philippians not that long ago, and you may remember that this is one of what we would call the prison epistles. This was written by Paul's hand as he is sitting in jail. And yet the whole theme of the book is joy and rejoicing. And that those two things seem very contrary, especially if you don't know the Lord. You'd say that doesn't even make any sense, that a guy would write, a prisoner would write to free men and encourage them to have joy and rejoice. But why can he do that? He can do that because he knows that the basis of our joy and rejoicing is not our circumstances. It's our God. And God is good. Let me say it again. God is good. And He is always worthy of our praise. And I want to encourage you, if you are just in a season of heaviness, keep on praising God. Get your eyes off of the situation, off of yourself, and onto the Lord. And do as we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, rejoice evermore. Just keep rejoicing in the Lord. Keep praising God. Folks, let's just be honest. It's easy in our struggles, in our difficulties, to get very focused on our problems. It's very easy to get focused on our problems. God has designed us to be problem-solving people. And so when problems arise, our entire being goes into fix-it mode. But there's some issues and some problems that you can't fix. And the difficult thing is to get out of that loop of trying in your mind to figure it out and to just give it to God and put it in the hands of God and trust Him. And the way that we do that is through our rejoicing, through our praise. Just keep giving it back to God. Just keep giving it to God and praising Him for who He is, because God is always good. God is good on the mountaintop and in the valley. Keep praising. Keep praising. And then let me say this also. Keep praying. Keep praying. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now I'll tell you that the second part of that verse, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, that part of the verse, I'm not always real good at that. But I'm almost never good at the first part of the verse, where it says, be careful for nothing. I tend to be a fairly laid-back guy. Some of you might laugh at that. I don't know, maybe you don't think I am. I tend to not really let things bother me too much. Just keep moving forward. But I'll tell you, there are times that, man, the burdens just kind of weigh on you. And they start to just eat at you. And it's easy to be overcome with all of the struggles and the questions and the wondering and all of that. But God said, don't worry about it. Your worry doesn't actually solve anything. It doesn't fix anything. Be careful for nothing. But then he says this, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Keep praying. We went through a season, not in this church, another church that I was serving in, and went through a season where there was just upheaval in the church, and people were leaving left and right. We ended up going through a split, and there was all kinds of confusion, bickering and backbiting and lies, and just, it was a mess. It was a mess. People being disciplined out of the church. It was awful. We had all kinds of church meetings and trying to get to the bottom of things, trying to talk through things, there were times, I'm not kidding you, literally months went by where 7 days a week, I'd leave the house 7 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't get home till at least 9 o'clock at night, just meeting with people, trying to deal with issues. It was awful. And we're sitting in a meeting on, a Saturday night, again rehashing and trying to work through things, and it just seemed, it was very obvious, we're at an impasse. We're at an impasse here. We're not getting anywhere. And finally, the thought came to me, okay, we spent all this time talking to each other, talking about other people, whatever, talking about the problem. Every time church people get together, I mean, I'm telling you, church would be over and people would be, half the church would just leave. They just leave. And those who stuck around were, a lot of them were the troublemakers, you know, and they're all in the corners and they're talking to each other. And I'm just telling you, spirit was bad. It was, did I say it was awful? It was awful, okay? I still have PTSD about that. Spend all this time talking. But how much time have we spent praying? That's where the power is to resolve the needs. You and I can't change things. You can't change another person's heart. You can't resolve things, but you know what? God can. And so, I just want to encourage you, rather than dwelling on struggles and problems and issues and wondering, well, what's happening here and what's going on there, or even going to someone else and talking about it and saying, well, what about this and what do you think about that and how are we going to fix this? Rather than doing that, go to God. And I really just want to call us tonight as a church to corporate prayer. I believe that we need to pray through a season of struggle. Because our God is well able. Our God is well able to meet us in our time of need. Go over with me, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse number 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. So here's a guy, he's been spending a lot of time weeping and not much time eating. He's lost his appetite. You ever lost your appetite because you're so strained and stressed about something? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now, it's bad enough when the world looks at you and says, where's your God anyway? But boy, it's worse when you don't have an answer. I don't know. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And then he asked this question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look at verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who's the help of my countenance. And then he adds to this one, and my God. My soul is cast down. I'm burdened. I'm discouraged. I'm worn out. But hope in God. Look to God. He's your helper. He's our helper. Mount Zion, we are not alone. We have a helper. Go over with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 1, it says this, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. I guess so. Big surprise. Of course. How would you not? And set himself to seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So we find a response here that's right. I mean, it's certainly understandable. You're outnumbered by multiple different... This isn't one attack. This isn't one enemy that's coming against you. It's multiple coming from different directions. And I find it interesting that it says at the end of verse 1 that they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now that means, obviously, Jehoshaphat is the king, and so obviously when it says they came against him, they're coming against the armies. But isn't it interesting? It doesn't say that they came against the armies. It says they came against him. Because is that not how it feels sometimes? Like, I'm so outnumbered, I'm all alone, I'm the only one who's dealing with... I mean, that's the... They came against Jehoshaphat. And here's what he did. And I love this. He set himself to seek the Lord. Verse 3. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. I am glad. Yes, this was a personal decision on Jehoshaphat's part. I need to seek the Lord. But he wasn't in it alone. He called Judah together. He called the nation together. He said, guys, let's huddle up here. Let's pray. Let's fast. And here's what they're going to do. He's going to pray. He's going to lead them in prayer. And I want you to notice how they pray. Look at verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers. Notice all the questions. Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And notice verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I love how he goes to God with all these questions. You know, this is the best way to challenge God, if I can put it that way. I don't mean that in an irreverent way, but you find people who knew the Lord and walked with the Lord, God kind of almost welcomes this challenge. You know, hold me to my word. He's not saying, hey, God, you are this, and you're not doing that. He's not saying that. He's just saying, Lord, didn't you say? Didn't you do this? And he's asking. He's asking these questions. Aren't you God? Well, of course he's God. But he's pleading with him. He's saying, Lord, we need your help. And I love the statement at the end of verse number 12. Our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we don't know what to do. Can't tell you how many times over the last couple of weeks I've said to the Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Personal issues in our lives. Lord, I don't know what to do. Issues with my wife's health. Lord, I can't fix this. Doctors don't even know what's going on. I don't know. Needs in the church. Struggles people are having. People coming to me for counsel. I don't know what to tell them. Lord, I don't know what to do. I was praying this afternoon. Lord, I need to help lead your people through this season of spiritual attack. I don't know how. But my eyes are on you. I'm just telling you, church family, we got to get our eyes on him. We got to get our eyes on him. Keep praying. Keep praising. Keep praying. Go back with me if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Number 3, keep pondering right things. You know what Satan likes to do? Satan likes to lie to you. And you know how he lies to you? Right here in your mind. And he'll convince you of things, and he'll tell you things. He'll put thoughts in your head that you're going, struggling with it. But here's the thing. If you let those thoughts fester, it's going to destroy you. It'll destroy you. And so in this process, what does he say? Set your mind on right things. Set your mind on right things. You need to ask yourself, is this true? This thing that I'm thinking, is it true? Not does it seem to be true according to circumstances, according to what I've seen. Is it true in accordance with the Word of God? Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? If not, don't think on those things. By the way, refuse to have that kind of conversations with your brethren. If someone comes to you and wants to poison your mind about someone else, don't let them. Put a stop to it. Those things are not helpful. Those things are not true and honest and just and good and lovely. Those things are not worthwhile. Keep pondering. Keep thinking correctly. Meditate in the Word of God. Dwell in His truth. If you personally are kind of discouraged and just feeling a little bit under attack, spend more time in the Word of God and in prayer. Take a break from social media. Take a break from the headline news. Fill your mind with right things. Keep praising, keep praying, keep pondering right things, and God has promised that He will keep you in peace. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God will keep you in peace. God will keep you in peace. Maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But maybe you're like many of us. They're just feeling a little extra pressure right now. A little extra stress. A little bit extra attack. I would like to remind you that we are in Missions Month, approaching our missions conference. And the whole point of that is to say, Lord, what would you have us to do? And doesn't it just sound like Satan to try to distract us from what God might be trying to do? Just keep praising, keep praying, keep pondering right things, and God will keep us in peace. With that being said, I do want to call our church to special prayer. Tomorrow evening, I'm going to be up here at the church at 6 o'clock. And just praying. And I invite you to join me. However, I want to say this. I don't want anyone to feel obligated to be here. I don't want you to come and pray out of obligation. I'll ask you to come and pray if you feel led to do that and you're serious about seeking the Lord. If you can't make it, don't worry. Nobody's going to think anything of it. But if you want to come and pray, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, I'm going to be here praying. I believe I'm going to do the same thing on Tuesday night, Lord willing. I'll make that I'll clarify that, and I'll confirm that. But at least tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, I'm going to be here praying, and I would ask you, if you are with me, I'm not saying that this is a measure of your support. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying if you're with me in this sense that Satan's working against what God's trying to do, and you want to stand against that, and you can make it 6 o'clock tomorrow.